Okay, good morning everybody. Today's daf is Sukkah Daf Nun, the very last daf of the fourth parak and the beginning of the fifth parak of Masechta Sukkah. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, also by the Gordon family, Lizchus Rufo Shlema of David Herschel Ben Fega, and also for Rufo Shlema for Tzvi Ben Devora, Besoch Shar Chola Yisrael. We thank all the sponsors very much for their sponsorship. So we are holding on Daf Memtes on the base at the two dots, two lines from the end of the page. So the first thing the Gemara is going to discuss is we're going to discuss why it is that when they would fill up the Mayim for Nisach HaMayim on Shabbos, they would dafka not use clay shares. So we're going to have three possibilities of why they would specifically not use clay shares to fill up the Mayim when it comes to the Nisach HaMayim on Shabbos. The second thing the Gemara is going to discuss is why it is not that, and the last discussion in the Perek is why not use Mayim Megula when it comes to Nisach HaMayim. I mean, we said you have to cover it, make sure that it's not Mayim Megula. After all, can't you just strain it out? Can't you, even if there is snake venom in it, can't you put it through a strainer and then the snake venom won't be there anymore? And that will bring the fourth parak to a conclusion. Then the fifth parak, we're going to discuss the musical accompaniment that they had in the Beis HaMikdash. The Mishnah is going to tell us that it was not Docha, Shabbos, or Yom Tov. We're going to see in the Gemara that in fact is a Machlokes. The Gemara is going to tell us that the phrasing of Simchas Beis Hashoeva is one tradition. The other way is Simchas Beis Hachashuva, and the Gemara is going to tell us that both of those titles are based in our tradition, and they both make sense. And then the Gemara is going to point out that there's a machlokas where the klishares shel eitz are okay to use. Can you use klishares made out of wood? And the Gemara is going to have three explanations as to whether klishares shel eitz are okay. And each of those explanations of that machlokas is fundamental. One is going to be about whether ikar shir bepeh or ikar shir bekli. How do we view, what's the ikar mitzvah of shira? Is it really the singing, or is it really the music that goes along with the singing? The second one is whether we are done in efshar mishei efshar, that we will find some precedent for using wood. And the question is, yes, but that was in a case where it was not possible to use metal. So can we learn the halacha in a case where we do have options from a case where we don't have options? And third is, fundamentally, when we have a klal upratu klal, do we darshan it as using the methodology of klal upratu klal, or do we darshan instead using the methodology of riboy mi riboy? So that's also fundamental to the midos shatar and nidreshes ben, had to derive the halacha from the Torah Shabichsav. So again, we're going to begin two lines from the bottom of the page on Daf Memtes Amud Beis. K'maseu b'chol. So we said the same way they would draw the water on a weekday for the Nisach HaMayim, so too they would do on Shabbos. The only thing is, there's a little bit of a difference that they would retrieve the water on Erev Shabbos in a Chavis Shal Zav that's not Mekudash, that does not have Kedusha, and they would do that, they would get the water from the Shiloh before Shabbos, and then they would leave it in the Lishcha so that they wouldn't have to carry the water on Shabbos. So the Gemara is going to explain why it is that they that when it came to a weekday, drawing the water for a weekday, Nisach HaMayim, they used a clay shares. They used a clay that had Kedusha to it. Well, yet when it comes to the Nisach HaMayim and Shabbos, they would dafka use a clay that had no Kedusha to it, that was never used for the Mizbeach, was not Nischanich La'avoda, it was dafka not a klisharis. So in order to understand the discussion that the Gemara is going to have about that, a couple of points are in order. The Gemara in Maseches, or the Mishnah Maseches Vachem, tells us that klisharis are only mekadesh es ha-ra'oi lehen. They're only mekadesh that which is put in them when it's ra'oi to be, when it's that which is ra'oi to be put in them. Once something is kadosh in a klisharis, it then is subject to psalina. Then if it has kedusha because it went into klisharis, now you leave it overnight, now it's going to be pasul, because it has kedusha saguf, it's like just like the emurim of karbanos, it's going to become pasul belina. So the reason, the simple explanation of the Mishnah, that they would fill up the mayim for the nisuch in a chavis she'eino mekudesha, specifically on Erev Shabbos, is to make sure that it doesn't become pasul belina. Meaning, why not use a kli that's kadosh? Because we're afraid that the water is going to become kadosh. If the water becomes kadosh, then it's going to be possible. You know, we don't need the water today. We only need to use it tomorrow. That's the pashtus of what the Mishnah is worried about. And that's why the Mishnah tells us, don't use a kli sharis to fill up the water when you're preparing it on Erev Shabbos for Shabbos itself. But the Gemara assumes in its question that a kli is only mekadesh, is only mekadesh the mayim with kedush saguf to the extent that it's going to become pasul belina if you have das that it should become kadosh, and if you have the right amount of water in there, meaning you only need 3 lugan of mayim for the nisach hamayim. If you put in more than 3 lugan of mayim, then it's not going to become kadosh, because kli sharis are only mekadesh ha'ra'li lahem. So you only need 3 lugan of mayim, that's what's ra'li. If you put in 4 lugan of mayim, then it's not going to become kadosh, because it's not ra'li lahem. So there are two ways that you can make it, that you fill up water in a kli sharis, and it's not going to become kadosh, and it's not going to become pasul belina. Either you could not have das that it should not become kadosh, or you could put in the wrong amount. Put in too much water, and then it's not going to become kadosh. That's the assumption the Gemara has, that there are two ways out to avoid the kedusha and avoid the whole problem that the Mishnah is coming to address. So now, says the Gemara, v'amai, naisi b'mukadeshes. I have an idea, says the Gemara. Instead of being careful to only use a kli chol to draw the water, why not use a kli sharis that's kadosh to draw the water on Erev Shabbos? And don't worry about the fact that that it's going to become pasul belina, because even if you fill it on Erev Shabbos with a chavisas mukadesh, it's not going to become pasul belina, because you can fill it without das that it should become kadosh. So or you could fill it with the wrong amount of mayim. You could fill it with extra mayim. So Amar Ziri kasavar ein shir lemayim. And the kli sharis mekadesh shlomidas. It must be, you could bring a raya from our Mishnah, the fact that our Mishnah thinks the only way to address this problem is using a kli chol, it must be that there is no shear for the amount of water that's necessary for nisach hamayim. 3 lug is a minimum, but you can have way more, and even if you put in way more than 3 lug, it's still considered ra'oi lehem, it's still considered what belongs in that kli. And kli sharis are even mekadesh shlomidas. Even if you're not interested in it becoming kadosh, the kli sharis is still going to make it kadosh. So it's still mekadesh shlomidas. So it must be you could bring a raya from our Mishnah that both of those things must be true. Otherwise, our Mishnah would have allowed us to use the kli sharis and would have just told us, and be careful that it doesn't become kadosh, either by filling in too much water or by having das that it won't become kadosh. So you might see mekadesh sifsul belina. But since we hold that there's no shear for the mayim, you put in way more, it's still going to become kadosh. And since we hold that a kli sharis mekadesh shlomidas, so if you're going to actually use a kli sharis, now it's going to become pasul belina. And that's why the Mishnah had to tell me, dafka use a kli that's einam mekadeshes. So the Gemara now brings the shita of Chizkiya, who says, I partially disagree with what Ziri said. Meaning Ziri said I could draw two conclusions from our Mishnah, both about how much water is needed for the nisach hamayim, and about kli sharis being mekadesh shalomidas. He says, yes, you can prove from our Mishnah that there's no shear for nisach hamayim, because the Mishnah didn't suggest that eitzah of just filling in more than 3 lug and then not having to worry about lina. But as far as being mekadesh midas, it could be that a kli sharis is only mekadesh midas. You know why the Mishnah didn't tell you just fill in with a kli sharis and have in mind that it shouldn't become kadosh? Chizkiya a kli sharis and mekadesh shalomidas. Kli sharis can only be mekadesh with your intentionality, with you wanting it to become kadosh. And the Chachamim were not comfortable telling us to use a kli sharis and have in mind that it shouldn't be makdish the water because of gzeira midrabanan. People aren't going to realize what your das is, so everyone's going to think that you were makadesh the water because you were having das that should become kadosh, and they're going to see you're still going to use it the next day, so they're going to think that there's no psulina on the water, or that you're using water that became pasul belina, even though you're really not, because it was never kadosh. So it's all a gzeira midrabanan. So Chizkiya says, of the two points that you, Ziri, wanted to make, I agree with one of them. Clearly, you see from our Mishnah that if you put in more than 3 lug of mayim, it's still going to become kadosh. And that's why the Mishnah didn't give that eitzah. But you cannot prove from our Mishnah that if you don't have das to be Mekadesh, that it's still going to become Kadosh, because it could be that it won't become Kadosh, but a Gezeira, I'm worried people will think you had das to be Mekadesh. Then the Gemara brings a third Shita. So the Gemara quotes the Shita of Rabbi Zeira, who disagrees with Ze'iri entirely. And he holds you can't prove either of Ze'iri's points from our Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Yanai, Amar Rabbi Zeira, Afilu Tema Yeshir Lamayim, Uklishari Tein Mekach Nelamidas. Even if I disagree with you on both points, I hold that there is a very specific Shir for the Mayim. It's three log, and any more than that is not Ravi Lahem, it's not the amount of water that's necessary for Nisach HaMayim, and therefore the Klishari should not be Mekadesh it. And second, Klisharis are only Mekadesh Midas, not like you thought that Klisharis would be Mekadesh Shalom Midas. Why then does the Mishnah say we have to use a Klichol? Can't the Mishnah say use a Klisharis and just be careful to fill in more than three lug of Mayim, or be careful not to have Das that it should become Kadosh? So Gzeira Shamayomru L'Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim Alan. No, because we're afraid that when people see you fill in this water, they're going to think that you filled up this water to do the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim of the Kohen Gadol. So the Mayim that you're Mekadosh Ben Yadayim V'Raglayim, that certainly doesn't have a shear. Even if you fill in 100 lug, it's considered to be Ratui L'Kli. And the people are also going to think that you're having Das to be Mekadosh the Mayim, because you're only allowed to do Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim with water that was Kadosh B'Kli, like the Kiyor that was Nimshach B'Shemin HaMishcha. So it's Mekadosh whatever water, the kiyor is mekadesh whatever water goes into it. So since they're going to think you filled up this water for the purpose of Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, and then you're going to see that you're menasech that same water on the Mizbeach the next day after it was there was lina, after it stayed overnight, it's going to be a michshol. People are going to think that there's no psul lina when it comes to nesachim, when it comes to that which goes on the Mizbeach. So people are going to see water that's poured on the Mizbeach, and they're going to think that it had a psul lina. They're going to say, oh, so apparently there's no psul lina for things that you want to pour in the Mizbeach. So those are the three possibilities. Those are the three opinions. So again, one opinion is you can bring a raya from our Mishnah that both of these halachas are true, that a klisharis is mekadesh even more, that even shalomi das, and that there's no shear for mayim, and therefore it's all considered royal lehem. No matter how much mayim you put in, it's all considered royal lehem. Second possibility, that klisharis are only mekadesh midas, but you're right, no matter how much water you put in, it's all considered royal lehem. And third possibility is that no, only three lug is considered royal lehem, and the klisharis are only mekadesh midas, and that's the issue is purely an issue midrabanan gzeiro, what people are going to think. Now the Gemara discusses the other half of what we said in the Mishnah when we spoke about filling up the water on Erev Shabbos. So you got to be careful if you're filling it up on Erev Shabbos. Yes, we discussed you have to put in a klichol, not a klisharis. That we discussed already. But the other thing we said was you have to make sure it's covered, because if it's not covered, then a snake might come and put its venom in the water, and then it's going to be mayim megulim, and you can't possibly use mayim megulim on the mizbeach. So the Gemara is going to discuss why not. Isn't there a way to solve the problem of mayim megulim? So he said nishpacha nisgalsa. If you were memali the water from the kiyor and the mayim was megula, it's possible to use on the mizbeach. So says Gemara, why should mayim megulim be possible for nisach mayim laavir bimisanenes? Can't you pass it through a strainer to separate out the venom from the water? So lema masnisin to lo krabi nechemia. It must be that our Mishnah that says that mayim megulim is pasul and is not willing to rely on using a strainer, our Mishnah must disagree with Rabbi Nechemia, because Rabbi Nechemia would have been perfectly happy using a strainer. He would not have had any problem using a strainer to filter out the snake venom. How do I know Rabbi Nechemia would have been perfectly happy with that in our Mishnahs against Rabbi Nechemia? The Tanya, because in Braisa tells us misanenas yesh. If someone puts sediment in a sieve and the wine is sifted through and it goes down into the kli that's beneath it, you have to cover it up in order that a nacha shouldn't drink from it. Even though the wine is continuously being sifted, it's being filtered, we're choshesh that maybe some of the snake venom is going to get through and get into the bottom kli. Amar Rabbi Nechamia, but Rabbi Nechamia says, no, Emesai, Bizman Shah Tachthona Megula. The only time I'm ever worried about wine that's Megula is if the wine that comes through into the bottom cleave through the filter, only if that's Megula. If that's exposed and the snake can get in there, so it can get in after the filtering, that's when I'm concerned. Bizman Shah Tachthona Mechusa. But if a snake can only get into the top cleave, and then in between the top cleave and the bottom cleave, there's a filter, so by the time it gets into the, and once it's, the wine is in the bottom cleave, the snake has no access. Anything in the bottom cleave, the snake has no access to. So then, then it's not going to be a problem. Even though the top cleave is Megula, but whatever snake venom gets in there is going to be filtered out by the time it gets into the bottom cleave. Then I have no worries. Because it happens to be the nature of snake venom is that it's spongy, and therefore it stays above the filter. It's not going to go. It's going to float on the top. It's not going to go down into the bottom kli where all the wine goes into. So even if a snake were to put its venom in there, it's not going to be a problem. So it turns out we have a machlokas about snake venom, that according to the Chachamim, it's like a liquid, it's like water, and it will go right through a mesanenes. Whereas according to Rabbi Nechemia, that it's a different makeup than water, and it's not going to get through the tiny holes in the mesanenes. So Mela, when our Mishnah says that Mayim that was Megulin is possible to be Menasech al Gabi HaMizbeach, must be against Rabbi Nechemia, because according to Rabbi Nechemia, you have a simple Eitzah. You could use the Mayim on the Mizbeach, just pour it through a filter, and as soon as you put it through a filter, then it's going to be okay. So it says, well, no, I feel the same Rabbi Nechemia. Our Mishnah might even agree with Rabbi Nechemia, that you're right. If you're worried about poisoning yourself, if you're worried about whether there actually is poison in there, in a chinami, you can solve the problem easily. But Eimar Adamar Rabbi Nechemia lehedyot. But that's when it comes to, if you're worried about actual poison, and you want to drink that wine, so don't worry about the wine if it passed through a filter. Aval legavoa, but to use it legavoa, to use it on the mizbech, to be menasek on the mizbech, miyamar. Does Rabbi Nechemia say that that's okay? But let's say Rabbi Nechemia, what, you think Rabbi Nechemia doesn't hold of what the pasuk in Malachi says when it talks about bringing sickly animals as karbanos? So it tells you, b'chisagishu pisech v'chola ein ra. So it tells you if you bring a sickly animal, it says hakriveu no levachasecha yirtzcha yisapanecha amar Hashem tzvakos. Hashem says, go bring it to your important elected official, not elected, but go bring it to your important political leaders. Are they going to accept such a gift? So you don't do that to bring such a thing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So meaning it's saying just some use some sense in terms of the dignity of what you're supposed to bring. Is it dangerous? No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not in danger anyway. Whenever we bring something for Nisach on the Mizbeach, it's supposed to be the most dignified gift. This is not a dignified gift if it was something that has a history of having had poison in it, and it just happens to be that yes, you were kind enough to filter out the poison that went through it. So that's not something that's appropriate to bring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It could be that Rabbi Nechemia really agrees with our Mishnah that you cannot use Megulim, you cannot bring that which was Megula. The Geder of this Isser, the Tshuvas Ksav Sofer writes that in Aruch Chaim Siman Samaches, that it's not an Isser min HaTorah, but nevertheless it's more chamer than an Isser Drabanan, it's Karov L'Divrei Torah. This Isser of Akriveu Nalef HaChasecha, because it's learned from Pasuk in Navi, so it's Divrei Kabbalah, meaning it's not everything is broken down into Dinim D'Oraisa, Dinim D'Rabanan. There are categories in between, so Divrei Kabbalah is a category in between. It's not quite a D'Oraisa, but it's stronger than a D'Rabanan. The other leading Talmud of the Chassam Sofer has two primary Talmudim, were his son, the Ksav Sofer, and the other one was the Maram Shik, right? So the Maram Shik writes in Aruch Chaim Siman Samach Zayin that it's an Isser Mikoch Svara, that if you would bring it Lefachasecha, he would not be pleased with it, so it should not be L'Ratzon Lefnei Hashem, and therefore anything that's Misvara has the status of a Doraisa. He says it's stronger, meaning yes, there's a Pasuk in Divrei Kabbalah that we're able to attach the Pasuk to this din, Akriveinu Lefachasecha, but it's a Pashut Svara. And any svara that's a clear and an ironclad svara, that's a din d'oraisa. As we've mentioned many times, kal v'chomer really, which is one of the midrash hatorah and drash ben, is really a svara. Kal v'chomer is a very, very strong svara. The Gemara says sometimes, lama likra svarahu. Other times the Gemara says, Iba Yisei Mekra, Iba Yisei Mesvara. So the Rishonim struggle. Why would you sometimes say that if you want, I'll bring you a Pasuk, if you want, I'll bring you a Svara, and other times you'll say, what do I need a Pasuk for? I have a Svara. Svara is just as good as a Pasuk. So the Rishonim point out that there are different levels of Svara. Some Svaras are very, very strong, and therefore, Lamali Kra, Svaru, I don't need a Pasuk, I have a Svara. Some svaras not as strong, and then I'm going to say iba yisema kra, iba yisema svara. But says the Maram Shik, this is a glad. This svara is absolutely glad. So therefore, it would be a din da oraisa. So the Acharonim discuss in the Tshuvas Shaar Ephraim that the Isur Vakrever Nalefachasecha is even when you don't have another kosher one available to you. It's ma'akiv even b'diavad, because it says Hayirtzcha Yisa Panecha. So you see, it's not meratza as a karban. Whereas the Bir Alacha in Simon Reish Ayin Beis says no, that it can't be that it's going to passel b'diavad, because the Bir Alacha says it almost like as a given. He says Mishum Akriver Nalefachasecha. It's going to be possible, but the Eved, if you shecht a behema kchusha, you shecht a shvacha animal for a carbon, so it's also a kaveh nal fachasecha. But certainly, behema kchusha works as a carbon. Mivchar nidarecha, the idea of using the best, the choices that's available to you, is a mitzvah lechatila. But with the Eved, it's not going to possible. So that may go to whether you're learning this as a divrei kabbalah, or you're learning it as a svara. If it's a svara, so misvara, I know that I shouldn't do it. But Misvara, it's going to be makiv b'dieved. Misvara, you're going to tell me that if I don't have anything else available, and the only available option is that which is a little bit weaker, you're going to tell me better not to do anything? I don't know if that's such a svara. So maybe the din wouldn't apply. If you hold like Maram Shik, that it's a din d'oraisa based on the pasuk of the svara, but the svara ends at a certain point. Right? If you have nothing else available, so then the svara turns in the other direction and tells you that you should use this. But if you're going to derive based on the pasuk, you're going to say like the Ksav Sofer, that it's really a din mi divrei kabbalah, and it's not a svara, it's a din mi divrei kabbalah. So then you have to be loyal to the pasuk, and the way the pasuk says it is hayirtzucha, that you think it's going to be l'ratzon l'fnei Hashem. It can't be l'ratzon l'fnei Hashem hayisa padecha, that it's not going to work. It's simply not going to be something that's ratzon l'fnei Hashem. The other point I forgot to mention before is we discussed this machlokas Rabbi Nechemia and the Chachamim. What do they say? That Rabbi Nechemia says, don't worry, if you pass it through a filter, then it's going to be fine. Then the venom is not going to get through because it's spongy and it's not going to get through the filter. Whereas the Chum said, no, it's watery, it's going to get right through the filter. One of the sodos we have in learning is whenever you have machlokas tanaim, the worst thing to say is that it's machlokas and metzias, because machlokas and metzias means somebody's right and somebody's wrong. And we would prefer that every machlokas that we learn is elevelu develukim chayim, that both of them are right, but they're viewing it from different perspectives, and it's all within the spectrum of what's considered to be Torah, right? We learn in machlokas beishamai beishilel, it's not bittul Torah to learn shitas beishamai, because it's also correct, it's just not correct lahalacha. You're not allowed to follow it lahalacha, but as far as it being included in Torah, it's certainly correct. But when you have a machlokas and metzias, and so Rashi points out in Maseches Ksuvos, when you have machlokas and metzias, one of them is wrong. And if one of them is wrong, l'chora, learning that shita is bittul Torah. So, you know, if we're supposed to have 40 minutes of daf yomi, we don't want to have 25 seconds of it when we were learning one of those shitas to just be pure bittul Torah. So we'd rather it all be actual Torah. So Sfasemis writes that it sounds from the Gemara that the reason the Rabbanan are cholik on Rabbi Nechemia is because they hold that it goes right through. But why would they argue on metzias? You could say that l'kulei alma, the sinun works because it's the teva of the venom to stay, to float on the top. It's just that the Rabbanan hold that even if you remove it, the water has already received some of the charifos of the venom, and now it's going to remain dangerous forever. And therefore, it's yeshba mishum giloi, and it's also to drink it. So when it comes to, but when it comes to nisuch, where the whole psul is, not because it's dangerous, the whole psul is because it's going to be chaser from the shear of the mayim, that you think you have 3 lug of mayim, you don't. You have 2.95 lug of mayim and 0.5 lug, or 0.05 lug of venom. So that's the whole issue. So it could be the Chum agree in principle that it's going to all be filtered out, but but you're still not allowed to drink it, the Chum would say, because it's still going to be dangerous. Chamir sakanta meisura, it still could have impacted the water that it came in contact with. But as far as the shear of mayim, the shear is going to be proper, is going to be the right amount. So the Sfasemis writes that according to the Maskana, the Chum Ramoda, that it's tzafa omid b'mekomo, and the Machlokas is whether it's dangerous after you're masining it. But in the Havamina, the Gemara didn't know that the din of Gavoa is different than the din of Hedyot, that Krivel Nalefacha Secha is a thing. So we had to say that the Mishnah is going like the Rabbanan and say that it's Machlokas and Metzias, and that they hold that it's not Saf Milamaila, because otherwise there would be no one to attribute the Mishnah to. But once we say that the Mishnah could even be going like Rabbi Nechemia, now we no longer need to say that the Rabbanan and Rabbi Nechemia are arguing in the Metzias. They both agree in the Metzias that it will filter it out. They're only arguing in the Halacha. When it comes to a hedyot, when it comes to gavoa, they all agree, but they're arguing that in the halacha when it comes to a hedyot. When it comes to a hedyot, do you have to worry about drinking such water? Where the chum, so that could already be machlokas in halacha, right? Because it could be that, yeah, sometimes the water does absorb a little bit of the charifus, but is it enough of a chashash, right? Meaning that could just be a matter of degree, that there is some sort of chashash, that the water will become somewhat dangerous from the venom that it used to have in it, but is it a 0.001%? So is that enough? Do you say something to koch nefesh, chamir sakanta meyisura, and that's enough of a chashash? Or do you say, no, it's such a minuscule chashash that it's not enough of a chashash? So that's already a tricky halacha question. When do we consider something to be a chashash sakana? Right, that's something our poskim have continue, unfortunately, to be dealing with on an ongoing basis. How much of a chashash is a real chashash sakana that we have to be worried about? So that's already a very tricky halacha question, and that could very well be a machlokas between Rabbi Nechemia and the Chachamim. Okay, going right to now, Hadron Lach Lulav Arava. Now we begin with the fifth parak of Masechta Sukkah. So the Mishnah said that on Sukkot they would play the musical instruments in the Beis Hamikdash on the nights of Chol Hamoed, Chalilim and Kinoros. So Hachalil Chamisha Veshisha. The Chalil was used either for 5 days or for 6 days of Yom Tov. There are 7 days of Sukkot in total. One day for sure they didn't do was Shabbos. But also they didn't do Yontif. So if Shabbos and Yontif fell out on the same day, and you had 6 weekdays, so good. So then they would play it for 6 days. But if Shabbos and Yontif were separate, the first day of Yontif was a weekday, so you knock out the first day of Yontif, and you knock out the Shabbos Chol Hamoed, so then you only have 5 days. Zehu Cholul Shal Beis HaShoeva. That's a reference to the Cholul Beis HaShoeva, was played for either 5 or 6 days. She'ena Docha Los Shabbos Los Yontif, because it cannot be Docha neither Shabbos nor Yontif. So as we said, if Yontif or Rishon falls out on Shabbos, so good. So then you'll have it for 6 days. If it falls out on a weekday, then you'll only have it for 5 days. So Itmar, says the Gemara, we have a Machlokas Amoraim that was reported in the Beis Medrash, what the name of this Simcha was. What was the name of this celebration? Rabbi Yudav Ravena, Chad Toni Shoeva, the one we're accustomed to saying, V'chad Toni Chashuva. And the other one said, no, it's not called Simchas Pesach Shoeva, it's rather called Chashuva. So Amar Zutra, Mandi Toni Shoeva lo Mishtabesh, or Mandi Toni Chashuva lo Mishtabesh. Each of these is a valid opinion. Neither one is fundamentally mistaken, and that's because there's a makar for each of them. So Mandi Toni Shoeva lo Mishtabesh Tichziv U'sha'afta Mayim B'sasa. Right, we already discussed that, you know, at some length. What that pasuk means, Ushaftamayim B'sasa, and that's how we learned that taku viri v'taku, that they would blow a tkiah through a tkiah when they would bring the water, because it has to be done b'simcha, because Ushaftamayim B'shivas Mayim should be done b'sasa. We learned also about the two minim, one of them named Sasan, one of them named Simcha, using these psukim to try to show what the roles are going to be, la'asalava, whether it's going to be a respectable role or not a respectable. Good, so we already had these discussions of that pasuk, but you see Ushaftam, so it's a Simcha's base. Hashoeva, Ushaafta Mayim Besasan. Oman Tani Chashuva, the one that says that it's called the Simchas Beis Chashuva, is also Lo Mishtav. He's also not mistaken. Dam Rav Nachman, Mitzvah Chashuva Hi. This Mitzvah of Nisach HaMayim is a very Chashuva Mitzvah, Uba, Mishesh Simei Bereshis, to the point that it was thought out already from Shesh Yisimei Bereshis, meaning obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu Stakel Barais or Bar Alma, the whole Torah was thought out from Shesh Yisimei Bereshis, but this one was actually put into creation beforehand. Most of the mitzvahs of the Torah were only niskala to us, that any remiss to it in Olam Hazeh at Kabbalah HaTorah. So we got the Torah and we now know what our mitzvahs are. But over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu built into the Bria the ability to be able able to do this Nisach HaMayim because he made these two holes that go all the way down to the core of the earth in the Makom of the Mizbeach, because the Shis is Yardin Ad L'Tahom. So that was Barashis, right? That's where we already had that trash as well. That Barashis is Barashis. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Shisin. Of course, we learned that that's Machlokas. That the other possibility is it didn't go down to the core of the earth, and it all just caked, and fell in between the crack in between the Mizbeach and the ramp, and the Pirchei Kohuna used to have to go every few decades, every several decades, and pull out whatever got stuck there. But assuming that it was there from Shesh Mei Bereish, so that's Chashuva Hiuba. Chashuva means that there was forethought. Tanu Rabbanan, Hacholil Doches Hashabbos, Tiver Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, Chamim Omrim, Af Yom Tov Eino Doche. Our Mishnah clearly assumes, like the Chamim, that the Chalil is not done on Shabbos or Yom Tov, but you should know that there's another Shita in Tanayim, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that not only did they play the Chalil on Yom Tov, they play the Chalil on Shabbos as well. What is that Machlokas about, whether it's Doche Shabbos or not? So I'm Rabbi Yosef Machlokas Beshir Shal Korban. The whole Machlokas is when they were doing the Levim are doing the Shir, when they're doing the Nisach Hayayin for the Karban Tamid. So the Levim were Omer al Duchanam, and they would say Shira. So they would be Menagin with musical instruments. So that Chalil, that's where you have Machlokas, whether it's Docha Shabbos. Rabbi Yossi Savar Iker Shira Bekli. Rabbi Yossi holds that the Iker Mitzvah of Shira is to play musical instruments, and therefore Avodahi and Docha Shabbos. That it's an Avoda, and therefore it's going to be Docha Shabbos. Just like you're allowed to bring the Karban Tamid, any Avoda that's Zmana Kavua, you're allowed to do on Shabbos. If it's not Zmana Kavua, of course you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. But any Avoda that's Zmana Kavua, you're allowed to do on Shabbos. So the musical accompaniment with the Karban Tamid was Zmana Kavua. It's part of the Avoda, because Zikr Shira is Bekli. That's the essence of the mitzvah of Shira. So it's Docha Shabbos. But Rabbanan Savri, Ikr Shira Papeh. The Rabbanan hold, no, the Kli is there to help out, but the Ikr Shira, the Ikr Mitzvah of Shira, is the singing. So the Lava Vodi, and therefore, since Ikr Shira Bepeh, the Kalim that they would use, the musical instruments that they would use, that's not a Voda, the Einadoches Shabbos. Memeli, you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. Yeah, it helps. A Chazan probably appreciates some musical accompaniment also. It probably could help him out. But you're not allowed to do it, so we don't do it. So you sing. So it says more of a shir shal shoeva. But when it comes to the shir that we're talking about, meaning when it comes to our sugya of the simchas v'shoeva, divrei kol simcha hi ve'nedoch shabbos. Everyone agrees that it's not min haTorah, that it's only l'shem simcha yaseira, and therefore it's not going to be docha shabbos. Meaning the fact that there's music by the simchas v'shoeva, that's just to create the mood, but that's not something that's a halachic requirement, and therefore for sure. Sure, it's not going to be Docha Shabbos. So I'm Rav Yosef. Mina Amina Debaha Pligi. How do I know that whether Ikar Shir Bepeh or Ikar Shir Bekli is really the machlokas between Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan? Again, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan disagreed whether the Chalil is Docha Shabbos, and we just explained that they're arguing specifically about the Chalil that they would use when bringing the Karbanos Tamid. So we said, oh, that machlokas must be about what the mitzvah of Shira is. Is the mitzvah of Shira Bekli really, and we just sing along? Or is the Ikar Mitzvah really Bepeh? It's the singing, and the Kli is just used to play along. So how do I know that that's the Nekudas HaMachlokas? Titania, because we have a Braisa, Kli Shareis Sha'asan Shal Eitz. If you have a Kli Shareis that you make for the Avodah and the Beis HaMikdash out of wood. So there's Machlokas to know whether it's kosher. Rebbe Posel, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Machshir. Rebbe says that it's Posel, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda says that it's kosher. So my lad, Ba'akamifli, isn't this exactly the Machlokas? The man, the Machshir, Sabar Ikr Shira, Bekli, or Yalfina Me'abuvah Demoshe. The one that holds that it's kosher holds that the Ikar Shira that accompanies the Karban Tzibur at the time of the Nisuch is using the Kli, is playing the musical instruments. So there are Kli Shares. So since it's Kli Shares, I'm able to learn from the Chalil that was in the Mikdash in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, in the Mishkan, in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, and I can learn from that to Kli Shares, that just like the Chalil of Moshe Rabbeinu was made out of eights, even though it's a Kli Shares, so two other Kli Shares are allowed to be made out of eights. Oman de Pasil, the one that says that it's Pasil Savar, Ikar Shira Bapeh, holds that no, the Ikar Shira of the Karban Tzibur that it requires Shira is only the singing, and therefore the musical instruments are not a Kli Shares at all. So and if it's not a Kli Shares, I can't learn that I'm allowed to use eights, that I'm allowed to make it out of eights from the Abuba de Moshe, because it's dafka, what Moshe used could be made out of eitz, because it's not a kli, because it's not a kli shari. So you see that it's machlokas, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi, whether ikashir bepeh or ikashir bekli, and therefore you can say that even Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Rabbanan disagree about that issue, about the din of shira karban bechalil, whether it's docha shabbos or not, that it's really fundamentally about ikashir bepeh, ikashir bekli. So says Marlo, no, that's not the basis of the machlokas, whether klisharis could be made out of eitz. Really, the kuliyam leikar shir b'kli. Maybe everyone holds, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi both hold ikar shir b'kli, and the Abba v'shal Moshe was a klisharis. And the reason that Rabbi passes a klisharis made out of eitz, they're arguing over here whether we're able to derive a halacha ledoros from what was done in the unique situation of Moshe Rabbeinu. Meaning, can you say, man de machshir, the one who says you can make a klisharis out of eitz, savar dan in efshar mishi efshar, says, I can learn the din of other klisharis where I could have, I have the ability to make them out of metal, from a halacha in a situation where there was no option to make it out of metal. So just like it was kosher from eitz in for Moshe Rabbeinu, so it's kosher for klisharis, can be made out of eitz all the time. But a man to pasul, one that says that you're not allowed to make a klisharis out of eitz, sabra lo dan nefshar mishi yafshar. I can't learn other kelim from the abuva de Moshe, because over there, there was no other possibility. They only had the ability to make it out of eitz, so they didn't, they made it from whatever they were able to make it for. But other klisharis, where you're able to use mateches, of course you have to use mateches. So we should learn from menorah that was made out of mateches, so you should make it out of a very chash of a mateches. And that's, and therefore, a klisharis has to be made out of metal. The ibayisema, or a third possibility of what they're arguing about, is maybe really the kuli alma dikashir bepeh. Maybe everyone holds a kashir bepeh, and therefore you can't learn to be machshir klisharis out of eitz from an abuv which is not a klisharis, because the ikashir was always bepeh. And even if you're going to say ikashir bekli, where then you would be able to learn from abuv de Moshe, because it was a klisharis, but still you can't learn from abuv de meaning, really, I could accept that that neither possibility of how to learn out from Moshe Rabbeinu to klisharis, neither of them is a good possibility. Neither the possibility that ikar shira b'kli, and therefore it's a klisharis, so I can learn from there to other klisharis, I reject that, and I'll also reject that danin efshar mishe'i efshar. I'll tell you, ain danin efshar mishe'i efshar. So I can't learn from Moshe Rabbeinu at all, from either perspective. Vahacha, but over here, what's the machlokas about using klisharis from eitz? The machlokas is whether a menorah could be kosher from eitz or not. Is tali on b'melef menorah b'chlali uprati. Do I learn the din of menorah, the psukim that I derive klisharis from, or the psukim about a menorah? Do I use the methodology of klal uprat? And you're only, and if you use the methodology when the Torah says a general statement, a very specific statement, and then a general statement, so what's the methodology of learning it? Do you use klal uprat to klal, or beribo imiyot, or do you view it as ribo imiyot riboy? That's the machlokas. Rabbi Darsh klal uprati, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda Darsh ribo imiyot. Rabbi Darshins with klal uprat, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda Darshins with ribo imiyot, meaning, you know, there is definitely a midrash that tells me how to handle such a situation. When I have a general statement, then something very specific, then something general. Question is, what is that? There's machlokas as to what that midrash is. So we know what Rabbi Shmuel holds, because we say it every single morning, that is klal uprat uklal. But that is not universally accepted. Meaning there is a shita throughout Shas that comes up quite often that says, no, klal uprat uklal is not the preferred methodology. Riboy miyat riboy is the preferred methodology. And riboy miyat riboy is a much more expansive way of learning it. Klal uprat uklal leaves you with only something very specific. Riboy miyat riboy will include much more. So Rabbi darish klal uprati. Rabbi is going to darshan klal uprat. So va'asisa menoras klal. It says va'asisa menoras, that's a klal. From the fact that it says you should make the menorah without saying what to make it out of, so that sounds like it's wide open, whatever you want. But then it gets very specific. It zeroes in. Zahav tahar. It has to be made out of pure gold. So prat, it's got to be out of gold. And then the Torah says, Mikshatasa menorah, that it should just be made. Just be made sounds like, I mean, it says that it's got to be miksha, but it doesn't tell me the material. Teasa means whatever material you want to make it from. So chazur klal, so now you have another klal. So klalu pratu klal, so now you have a general statement, very specific statement, general statement, yatadan, elakena prat. So if you use klalu pratu klal, whatever you're going to use for the menorah has to be something that's similar to the prat. Ma prat mefurish al mateches, av kol shal mateches. Just like the prat was very specifically mateches, so too, anything that you're going to learn from the menorah also has to be made out of metal. So the menorah has to be made out of metal, and all klisharis need to be made out of metal. So that's one shita, whereas Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, darshins psukim in a different methodology. Ribuye umiute, vasisa menorahs is riba. Vasisa menorahs, like we said, is a general statement. It's marbe everything. You just make a menorah. Zavtar miate, that's a miut. That tells me very specific that you can only make out of zavtar. Mikshatasa hamenorah, chazav riba. That's a ribuy again. Riba miut riba. So what happens when you have riba miut riba? Riba kol. That includes everything except for one very specific item. So my Rabbi Kolnili, what are we including? Everything. You can make klisharis, doesn't have to be on metal. Almost everything. My miate, we're only mimait one thing. So miate klicheres. We're only mimait the klicheres. Bottom line is, the raya that Rav Yosef had to be mochiach, that the machlokas, Rav Yosef Rebida and the Rabbanim, is about whether the machlokas, whether you're allowed to play the music on Shabbos, that it's tali and ikra shir b'per, ikra shir b'kli, is not a clear raya mochrachas, because it could be two other things that they're arguing about. Not ikra shir b'per, ikra shir b'kli. It could be that they're arguing about tana nefshar mishiyafshar, or it could be they're arguing about klal prat klal, or ribu miyut ribu. Okay, but so we'll pick up from there tomorrow. Have a great day, everyone.
Sure. Thank you.